Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome back to the Heart Conviction Podcast. I am your host, Nina Palmer. You guys, we are in episode 4. So we've been together a month now. Thank you for continuing to show up. It means a lot to me. So now that we've been together this long, I think it's about time that we have a nickname for each other, right? All the good podcasts that I listen to, they have a name. And it usually references the title of the podcast or what the topics are. So what would be good for us? Add me on Instagram, Nina Palmer, Texas. That's where you get all your updates for the Heart Conviction Podcast. And I'm going to do a question bubble. And I want you to think about it. What could we be called? Like Heart Cons, Hardies, HCs, Cons, Convicts, Ex-Cons. No. Yeah? No? Do you like that? You don't want to be called a convict? Why not? I can't imagine why not. I mean, we are all convicted of sin. So we are all ex-sin convicts. Can I call you like a sin con? Con sin? We're in this together. You're my Sally. That's it. I just came up with that. We're Sallys. I'm going to call you my Sally. No? You don't want to be called a Sally? I mean, that's like an endearing term kind of in jail. So let's all be Sallys. Let's all be cellmates. Okay. Anyway, so this episode, I'm going to go ahead and rate it. It's going to be far lighter than last week. Thank you for sticking through that one. This is going to be fun, lighthearted, along the lines of improvement. We have a guest coming in. I hope he shows up. And it's going to be an easy one. I'm even, dare I say it, the title we are the most scared of. So do not imagine yourself in the Barnes and Noble aisle of the self-help aisle. I know we're all scared to look like we're in that aisle. But dare I say borderline self-help in the least cheesy way, in a Christian way. It's going to be a good episode. We are going to kick off the Better Person Project that I've been speaking of in prior episodes and really give us a good introduction and what to expect from here. For that. I'm really excited. So I have a couple things that we're going to go over first. I feel like I'm reading the announcements at church or like the bulletin. Remember in the 90s, like 90s church, we called it the bulletin announcement. Man, do I miss that. Does anybody else just miss good old 90s church? Oh, do I ever? I miss it so bad. I want to start like an old school church, like a 90s church. Like, No, let's do old school. Let's hand out a bulletin with like clip art in it. You know what I'm talking about? Like prayer requests. And then it'll be like a praying hand clip art. I remember we were so pumped. We bought like the clip art package at church. Like it was like, oh my gosh, we have all these images now. Just name an image, anything, like anything, like running. We got 35,000 images for that. So funny. That's so funny. I am also coming off today. If I seem euphoric if I seem intoxicated, if I seem tired, whatever I seem like right now, amped up, you are correct. Only I had the inaugural visit of the Texas State Fair, and I might be under the influence of deep fried macaroni, cheese, bacon, egg roll, and an official corn dog. That's what I had for the inaugural visit today. If you love a fair, then you love a state fair. If you love a state fair, then you know the crux, the mecca, the promised land of state fair is indeed the Texas State Fair. Season passes, probably the biggest flex I got in this lifetime. It comes with 50 meal tickets. If you have never been to the Texas State Fair, can I suggest putting it on your bucket list and make it on the priority bucket list? It's as close as we're going to get to heaven on this earth. I can tell you that. It's incredible. Maybe I should do a whole episode at the end of my experience at the Texas State Fair. I'm already logging all the things that I eat there. I wonder if I should talk about it. Okay. I think we should. It'll just be me enjoying the whole episode, but I don't care. I love it. And I ran in there today. I wanted to see the opening parade. You would have thought that I was watching like the royal wedding. I was like so pumped. And then I wanted to get like, they gave out like swag today, like opening day swag. It was stupid. It was like just like a pin. I wanted it so bad. You would have thought I was like after a Beanie Baby in the 90s. Like I ran in there and like rushed up to the counter where they were giving him away. You know, it was like until supplies run out. Like calm down, sis. It's hour one. Like we still got him. You're fine. And I was like, I really want the pin. Do you guys still have the pin? That man looked at me like, yeah, we have like 35,000 of them left. Like you can have 16 of them if you want. He handed it to me. You would have thought I got the Doberman Beanie Baby. I mean, just let me live. Okay. We don't have much to live for in this life. I was excited. Leave me alone. Okay. Or meet me at the Texas State Fair. You can use my other season pass. Okay. I'll buy you a corn dog. I'll buy you whatever you want. Anyway. Now, I have a selfish topic on the bulletin today. On episode 2, I just gave you a top of my head frivolous list of my favorite reality shows. I know you didn't even really care, but I forgot to mention one of my very top favorite reality TV shows. And when I tell you I have lost sleep over it, so please just let me get it off my heart and let me say it's top 5 for sure. I wish I had said it. I can't believe I didn't say it. I think because it's not on right now, it just wasn't fresh in my front of my mind. But I repent because I meant to say I also love 90 Day Fiancé. I love the whole franchise. If you know, you know. And if you know, you know. I love 90 Day the Other Way. I love the boot camps. I love all, I'm personally, mentally, emotionally invested to every single one of those couples' relationships. I care. You know, like I do premarital counseling and marital counseling. The way I want to counsel all of them, especially Adnan and Tiger Lily, and they're in Texas. So if you guys hear this, hit me up. You can come over. Look, if you don't watch 90 Day Fiancé, it's time. Take this as your sign. It's time. If you are single, you need to be watching 90 Day Fiancé. If you are online dating, you definitely need to be watching 90 Day Fiancé. It's just so fascinating. It's so interesting. All of it, their dynamics, the age differences, the cultural differences, it's just fascinating. The motives, the good motives, the bad motives, trying to figure out what's what. Some of you don't watch 90 Day Fiancé and I'm going to have a heart to heart with you. It shows. Okay. You don't watch and I can tell. It's just fascinating. It's ridiculous. It's, man. So thank you. Thank you for sticking around for that rant. We love a 90 day. I'm glad I said that. Should I do a whole episode? Like maybe 5 people would listen, but where we just talk about all the 10,000 seasons of 90 day. Ooh, that'd be so good. And I have a couple of friends who are super invested into it also. If they listened to episode 2, I know they were like, I know she did not forget to say that. I repent. I did. I want to do better. Let's talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Okay, I know you're probably also wondering why I'm wearing this doggone, if you're watching the video, I'm wearing this light fur pink coat. And it might look a tad familiar. You might be looking at it and you might recognize it. And it has been a hot topic, unbelievably controversial, shocked me, would have never guessed for anything that it would have. And it still is. I still get DMs to this day about this dang fur coat. It's not even a real fur coat. It looks like I made it out of Labubu's. It's a fashion coat. Okay. And if you know what I'm talking about, I wore this for the intake process on 60 days. And it's funny because it was actually just my winter coat that season. That's all it actually was my winter coat. And I wore it because it was cold, because we were in Utah and there were feet of snow on the ground. And I should have known it was going to be an issue or like a hot topic when even part of the production team picked me up from the airport and he was like, interesting choice of outfit. I was like, oh, what do you mean? And he was like, that fur coat, you look like a prostitute. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's not like inappropriate. It's not revealing. It's just, it's kind of funky. It's different. It's quirky. It's, you know, it's like, I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, you know, I'm a designer and I have a lot of designer friends that dress way wilder than this. And they always wear stuff like that. It's from Anthropology, for God's sake. It's not from like the, you know, the 24-hour, you know, what store on the East Side, you know, that used to be a car dealership. And now they sell, you know what? Never mind. Needless to say, I wore this for a reason, because if our guest shows up for this episode, he will love it. He will know exactly what it is. So I really wore it for that reason. But let me know. I'll do another question bubble. Do you think that this coat is offensive? Because boy, oh boy, do you all seem to think that. So does that give you a hint of who is going to be on this episode? It should. And one more small little plug. If you are enjoying this podcast on the Hopecast Network, we have another show that's actually been rated one of the top movie review podcasts. And it is called Movie Torture Podcast. And they call themselves the Best Bad Movie Review Podcast. So if you're into movies, would you give them a little quick visit? I think you'll really enjoy it. They have some really funny hosts on there, especially if you're a movie buff. Go check it out, would you? Okay, so this episode is going to be a bit of a two-parter. We do have a guest, but it will all even tie into the topic of this jacket. Like, did I need self-reflection on this jacket? Like, am I just so blinded by how much I like? I actually searched for a coat like this for a very long time. Believe that or not, I did. And when I found it, I was just like so pumped. But even the day of filming, production was like, you're not really going to wear that, are you? And I was like, what is the problem? Like, should I not? And we kind of like had like a little scuffle about it. And they kind of did what everybody does when it comes to something I want to do. They kind of throw their hands up and go, okay, do what you want, do what you want. And I don't know, do I need self-reflection on this? So this is when we're going to introduce the Better Person Project. And we are going to talk about the topic of self-reflection. And I don't mean that in kind of a cheesy, generic, common way. I mean it in a real soul-wrenching self-reflection, gut us out and clean us out way. And we're probably going to do the Better Person Project for the entirety of this podcast, because when do we cap off at growing? When have we reached the top of what we know? I don't think we do. I think the whole purpose here is to continue to improve and improve and improve. And I don't know how much we do that anymore. I think we more, especially in the United States, we more collect, hobbies, and we focus on the wrong thing. And then I think when it comes to betterment, we'll like lose 10 pounds and be like, look at me getting better. Mm-mm. the Bible is predominantly about checking your heart and renewing your mind over and over and over again. So we're going to really get into that. This is going to be our first official Better Person Project episode. And I just ask that you come with a heart that's really ready to receive and be open. And I think it'll be really beneficial. We are going to start just focusing on ourselves in the beginning, because that's an important topic. I'm going to tell you something right now. The day that you turn down the topic of self-improvement, and that's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, you are entering dangerous, murky territories. When you have it all figured out and you aren't continuing to seek betterment in all those areas, it really gives the enemy a seed of pride to pry on. It's dangerous. And even in the areas that I think I'm my sharpest, right? Like my strongest qualities, those suckers need refined, because your strongest qualities will also work against you the hardest. The things that I think about myself that are my most prominent attributes are things that also get me into the most trouble or can end up being used wrong. And so how lucky are we to be even given an opportunity to change in the areas that we need to change in? It's really important, and I would hope that we would never miss it. And so I'm going to invite you, I'm going to read us a little something. And this is your formal invitation to participate in the Better Person Project, where we will focus on a different part of being human, one section at a time. I don't really think that that ever has a cap off either, as we continue to grow and learn in the areas that we need. So once we've taken a concentrated part, we can apply it to the big picture. And then we will have taken our strongest points and our weakest points, edited them, corrected them, and identified where we struggle, where we strive, where we've been hurt, what must go, and what needs to be gained, and what needs to leave. And that is when we truly enter learning. It's how we treat ourselves. It's how we view ourselves. It's how we talk to ourselves. It's how we prioritize our needs, our dreams, our wants, and our wonders, and yet still consider all of the other people in our life that we've met and have not met yet. We have to heal our inner child. We have to be better wives, husbands, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, grandfathers, grandmas, friends, sons, neighbors, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and any other title that you might prioritize. Coworker, cellmate. We have to be better at that. It's time to learn who God says that you are and where do you fit into this equation. That's within yourself spiritually, in your community, in your family, in your congregation, in your society, in your environment, in your country, and bigger picture in the kingdom and the thought of eternity. You bettering yourself and getting to know yourself better, it contributes to the big picture of eternity. That's crazy. A pastor that I hold so dear, Pastor Rice, he said a quote that stuck with me. There's probably 5 or 10 quotes that like imprinted on my brain and became maxims for me. And he said, if the consequences of your sin are not enough to prevent you from continuing to do them, then you don't do them because they will get passed down the generations to come. So then you don't do the sin out of the sake of sparing them from that. That thinking, that big picture thinking, that editing yourself is not only for yourself, but that others have to carry our sin too, people that we'll never even meet, that's when you become passionate about changing and craving self-reflection and wanting it so desperately. I'll tell you, when I was in art school, let me tell you what, buddy, we would have projects in almost every single class, and you'd have X amount of time to do it, and you would present in front of the whole class, and they would put it in like almost panoramic, my hillbilly show, and that panoramic view, they would, and you'd critique everybody's projects, and like some of them you would know were bad, and you'd be like, oh, and everybody would have to comment on it. Like all 16 to 20 people in that class would comment on it, and you'd be like belly aching over it. Or it would be like you thought it was so good, and then you were hoping to get like all these reviews, these rave reviews, and then they'd be like, eh, I don't really like it. I'm gonna tell you what, that for all those years taught me how powerful it is to sit there and take it and let people critique you, constructive or not constructive, and just learn from what's being said. it'll demolish your pride. I mean, especially when you work really hard on something and you loved it. And then they're all like, yeah, I don't like it. It just was so healthy for me. I give that credit. It really contributes to how passionate I am about just standing before somebody and laying out where you're not doing well and allowing somebody to speak truth and wisdom and guidance over the parts of your life that you even think you're sharp in. And that's from a secular perspective, not even to mention a spiritual perspective. I'm very alarmed at our lack of self-awareness. So where we're going to start with the Better Person Project is self-awareness. That's the first topic in it. And it's because I can't continue on this podcast to encourage us to do more and to serve others and to give and to minister and participate and help and save. I mean, I got asked to be in a cat protest today. We'll talk about that if I do it. I'm contemplating to protest over these cats, thinking about it. And how can we do that though, and then be a wreck within ourselves and not really know the fundamentals of who we are and what we function out of? I think it's one of our biggest issues. It's something I wish that the church would talk about more. And I want to really invite you to be a part of this. Continues to say that we have to then learn how to have a self, work, and home life balance, not to mention then a spiritual element and the world element and how to be a good friend. It makes us happy in life. And even then to move on to learn how to keep friends. That is then applicable to every area of our life. And it shows so much about the inner workings of our heart. Can we learn to be a better friend to people? Can we learn to be better spouses? But overall for right now, can we learn better mint when it comes to how we treat ourselves? It's our health, it's our fitness, it's our food balance. How do we manage this body, this person, this spirit, this mind, this soul? How do we manage us? It's about self-worth and body image and even idol worship of those things too. It's our self-identity. It goes much deeper than the physical aspect of it, but yet they all do play a role because they were all crafted and mastered to be a part of this human experience. Us doing this will help us be better to our families, our kids, our spouses, our siblings, our parents, our family, our community, and outreach, servanthood, discipleship, where we volunteer at all of it. It's all a conversation worth having. I ask that you think big picture and we plug into this and we do it gladly. Oh my goodness, everybody, do I have a treat for you. Our guest has shown up. He is here, my 60-day bestie, my Jill Rohde, my ride or die, my favorite participant.
Don't you have a friend? Gotcha.
Gotcha.
I do have a friend. I wasn't God.
Oh my gosh.
The love of my jail life, Corey. From season 9, 60 days.
Oh my gosh.
Days. Hi,
I'm
bestie.
I'm so happy to be here.
You were always going to be my first guest, and there was nobody I was going to put on before you.
And trials and tribulations, because it is. Trials and tribulations, honey. Trials and tribulations. Just to get
Do
this
you
in.
And I not have, like, are we not, of all the 60-day franchise, are we not the 60-day besties?
I think so. I think we're the only ones that are like the happy ones of the 60-day group. We're the lollipops. We're the Candyland. We're the happy people.
You were such a gift through that entire process because you were the funnest to rehash with, to dish out about, to talk to after every episode. You were therapy.
Oh my God, girl, you are therapy. I wish if I had to stay longer, I think I was going to ask him, like, hey, can you, like, get me and Nina in a room together, give each other, like, a tea? Like, could you imagine them filming us, like, hey, girl, what you doing? We touch that guy. Like, and, like, you know how they give us our interviews? And, like, we meet each other behind the scenes to give each other, like, updates of, like, what's going on in jail.
Yes, we have co-ed jail just for you and I. Now, do you see what I'm wearing?
Oh my God, yes, the fur. Yes.
Ready I wear for this for you.
Era. Ready for the Jill era.
I busted out this coat. Now, would you please be a testament to me, to the everybody, because I said this earlier in this episode, that this was not an act just to get arrested in. This was my winter coat.
It really was, because it was cold. It was like negative below there. We were filming in deep January, February, I believe.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was still snowing. We were slipping and falling on ice when we went out to the bars. Oh my God. Like, it was like, it was.
Yeah.
But I'm used to that though. Like, so like, it, I always feel like 60 days in, that season came to me because I live in mountain towns. I've like, ever since 2017, since I was like 19 years old, 18, maybe 19, I've lived in mountain towns. I know the mountains. So when they told me like Utah, I was like, oh.
Okay, is this, in mountain towns, is a coat like this that crazy? Because.
Oh, no, it's not. That's very normal.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
This is hilarious. No, it's very, like, literally, like, today I was serving people, and they literally had cowboy hats, mink long coats, leather long coats, fringe coats. You should see what I wear, you know.
You look so, you have really mastered having a retro inspired modern look.
Girl, but I've always had that. I just got crazy because 60 days in. Girl, like, that was like the thing. Like, I stopped my whole youth of Corey to do that show. Literally, my
and
whole
you're out there just making homemade music videos. You have such a nostalgia to you that I don't even think you know. Homemade, like, you're from a different era.
Homemade music videos. He's making homemade music videos.
All the time. I love it. You're so good at it. Okay, so let's talk about, I get asked all the time. I get three main questions when it comes to you. Number one, do we still talk?
Yes.
All the time.
All the time. Never miss. I mean, almost.
No, we talk for sure weekly, maybe daily, maybe multiple times in a day. Always. Yeah, we talk a lot. The number one question I got asked about you is people want to know how you're doing, if you're doing okay.
Well, I could use a little bit more money.
But you're hustling. You are a worker. Yeah. You work hard, though.
Well, I'm the only celebrity at my job. It's kind of hard. It's like, I'm the only one.
Having to represent the entertainment department. And then the next question I always get asked about us is, people always ask me, how did you and I, considering we were not in the same, we really didn't film all that much together. How did you and I become friends? Now that is a story.
Oh, we became friends, I believe, we first met, and then we had break, and then I remember during that break, we had a lot of breaks that day, because people don't understand, like, we went in at, like, 7 in the morning, and then leave that place until, I believe, like, 7 p.m.
Oh, we filmed 8, 9, 10, 12 hours. Easy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That meeting, people don't know.
And they wrapped it up in, like, 45 minutes. Like,
yeah.
It was crazy. So, yeah, so, like, we met. Because they told us that, hey, yeah, like, you guys are going to be in your hotel rooms for, like... And I felt bad for the people who weren't going in first and had to stay in their hotel room all those days.
Oh,
but,
no.
Like, yeah, they were like, we're going to be in our hotel room for, like, 3 days, 4 days until you go in. And I'm just like, wait, we're not going to see each other?
Like, me ended up being even longer. I was in that hotel room by myself at least 2 weeks before I went into jail.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah, we got each other's numbers. And we was like, yes, like, they slipped up to this. Like,
I don't know where it came from. I think it was the Holy Spirit. I'm not kidding you.
I think it probably was.
Because we met and we were fine, but you came for me a little. You came for me a little.
I thought you was going to Park City. I thought you were going to Sundance. Brighton. I thought you was going to all the other ski resorts, Deer Valley, somewhere, girl. Because you was just came in. Hi, I said, who is this? I said, from.
Well, you kind of came from me, and I was like, dang. And I don't know why, but then you kind of like lightened your load a little bit. And
yeah, because the person next to me was annoying me. So that's why I was just like, okay, now let's wrap it up. Let's wrap this up. It's going on 3 o'clock. Oh, you've been talking. He was talking about the same thing since 11 o'clock. We like, let's wrap it up a little bit.
You're like, she's not so bad anymore.
Yeah,
you know what? I actually think what it was that. Okay, so how odd is this? I think this is going to be strange to just be a listener. When we were filming, we would have breaks for like lunch or snacks or to go to the bathroom.
Or like mic check or just stupid, unless they got annoyed. Oh, but my God. People don't understand. That day, they had so much to say in that room. You remember that room they were in?
Yeah. Yes.
I would never forget when they were like, when I chose to go in first, I wanted to go in first. And we came out, she goes, "You guys, discuss this. Discuss this." They did not want me to go in first. It was like, discuss this.
They wanted content.
Everybody was like, "Okay, Corey, go ahead." Sure.
Well, we weren't allowed to talk on breaks, though. We were not allowed to talk. So we'd be like eating in silence, and they just don't want you to have any kind of connection that's not filmed. They want everything to be like organic. So we're all eating in corners, being quiet. Like, and you could talk to like a producer or like a PA or like a.
And they didn't even know what show they were doing. They didn't even know what show they were doing. Oh my gosh, the PA girl, she didn't even know what show she was doing.
Mm-hmm. And I said, "Girl, that's a producer assistant, like assistant." So we make eye contact, and I don't necessarily I think I would have did it to anybody, but you were starting to get more like friendly and lively, while somebody like Quell was pretty standoffish for that entire, like, okay, I think Quell he was just
saying nothing unless the camera was on. He didn't really talk to us.
I think he was just kind of following the rules, which was great.
Yes.
But we weren't supposed to talk. And you and I just had this golden opportunity where we were kind of by the bathrooms. We made eye contact. There was not a ton of people around us. And I just said it really quick. I said, "We should exchange phone numbers." And you were like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And we just switched phone numbers. I didn't know that we would talk. I didn't even know what kind of connection we'd have. But I thought, well, this is good. At least, look, if I can give you one bit of advice.
Let's go out tonight. Let's go out.
Yeah.
And we were so nice. Call each other out. Like, let's invite the other cast members too. Let's see. Girl, that was the best idea. We probably, God said, do not invite them. This is YouTube. Just not invite that one girl. The girl with the burgundy.
I know.
We tried to invite her. The girl with the orange hair. But she just was standoffish. So we was like, okay.
But she wanted to follow the rules.
If we got Daniel's number, he would have probably went out with us, but he would have been like, okay, these people are way too much.
I don't know, but they really put the law on you because they really want you to like be discreet. They don't want you to talk about it. They don't want anybody in the community to know what's going on. They don't want us to have like side relationships or friendship. I understand why. Get it. I understand why. It makes sense. It really does make sense.
It doesn't make sense this season. It doesn't.
However, we were in those hotels a long time. We were all in separate hotels, miles from each other.
I honestly feel like in that type of setting, you have people meet and go into a setting like that, into jail. Like, we all met. Like, we were going to see each other, like, again. But
yeah,
they could at least go to a dinner, filmed us getting to know each other. The girls getting to know each other, have the guys go out and get to know each other. We were just like, they were rushing. It felt really rushed. Like, okay. You're going to film. We got to have to do this for the production. You remember the Pursuit of Justice? The little quotes we had to do?
I was like this.
I don't understand.
So we weren't supposed to talk. And I understand that too. I don't think they want anybody making like alliances or plans or anything like that.
Makes the show.
But you and I were in different things. I mean, the guys and girls wouldn't see each other in there anyway. And so we broke the rules, and production was not happy with us.
Girl, I remember they had people fly out from New York. They had everybody, and oh my gosh. But production told on us because they saw us at the bar. Because you remember the camera crew came up to us like, "Good luck, guys, at the bar. Good luck. Like, oh, thank you. My God, they're so nice." Then, girl, we get emails from New York. Execs calling, "You guys cannot be together. You guys can't be together.
Can't keep us from our love. Us apart."
Yes, A&E headquarters was alive.
They gave us this huge discussion about how we had to stop hanging out.
They would tape the doors. They're going to tape the doors. They would tape it.
And then we hung out that night.
Yes, we hung out the same night. We hung out again. The same night. Oh my gosh.
We were like, okay. And look, I know we have to follow the rules in life.
I remember all of them coming. I'm like, all these people coming down from New York just for little old us? I'm like, oh,
well,
wow.
It wasn't just for us.
It was.
You're probably right.
You know me, I'm dramatic. I embellish stuff. I'm embellisher. I like to embellish it. Yeah.
So we decide we're going to go out. And we hadn't gotten in trouble yet. So we decide we're going to go out. So we go out and we walk halfway in between our hotels and we meet and we're like, where should we go?
So we start asking. It was like so close.
Yeah. Ours were close while other people's were much further. So little did they know they should have kept
on. Sure, she stayed somewhere in Pelvis, Utah. I said, girl, what was your hotel at?
And then you and I went out and they said, oh, there's only one place in this whole town because it's Utah. It's so only one bar.
And they closed at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah, there was one. And then like there's even things beside them that look like a bar, like something looked like a karaoke bar. And we didn't have to go to a bar. It wasn't that. It was just we needed somewhere to go that was that late, like just somewhere to hang out.
Girl, I needed a drink. That is all well, bigger.
Well, not you're gonna have a hard time in Utah finding that. But we went to this like quote unquote karaoke bar, but like all the counter served was like soda, like pop.
Oh, and I was flabbergasted.
I know. It was really funny. It was really funny. So we go out, we hang out, we go to what apparently is the only like they had like music. It was like a live spot, whatever. The only place that stays open late in all of everybody there.
We all knew each other. I'm at the high school. I know you. I said, you're this is
cute. It was the only one.
And we were asking about the jail too. He was like, what's you talking? Oh, that's no one goes there. No one goes to you. It's a good jail. You're not going to have a, you know. I'm like,
okay. They were like, Utah's pretty safe. And then who do you and I see? But we saw film crew and PAs.
And the PAs.
Production assistants hired locally.
Yeah.
And we see them at the bar. And we're like, oh, what are we going to say? And we have pictures from that night. I love those pictures from that night. And they saw us and they ran out of there so quick. And then they told us.
They did. They ran so quick. They was like, good luck, guys. Oh my God, good luck. And girl, next thing we getting emails, phone calls. You're not supposed to hang out.
We got scolded. And look, I believe in following the rules. I respect authority. I understand all that. But here's the thing. We were in there a long time. We were by ourselves a long time. We were not in the same pods. I didn't think it would affect production much at all. I'm also an adult. I also have free will. You also cannot trap me in a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, I hear what you guys are saying. I hear what you want. But I'm an adult. And so I'm going to...
Let's find out.
It was just a really fun time. And I would not have wanted to do this whole process without you.
And they posted us today again on their page. 60 days in. They posted. I'm like, if I'm not a factor, if I'm just this horrible casual, why do they keep posting me and not them up?
Do you have any regrets from the show?
Oh, I think my biggest regret is not preparing myself more, as you witnessed that. I did not prepare myself. And they contributed to that process. Like, I was just, like, turning up every day. I thought it was a party before I went in. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do everything I can in the real world before I go in. I'm going to eat everything. I'm going to drink everything before I go in. Just to, you know.
I remember... I was trying to talk to you the night before, and I was like, Corey, yes. you got to pull it together for tomorrow.
Oh,
now,
yeah, we went
to Olive Garden. Now, what did you do to me before you went in, what we went in? You were so stuck on the fact that I had never watched the show.
Oh, yes. You said you didn't never watch the show. I'm like, oh, my God, you never watched it. So I made you watch, what season? Season 5. I made you watch season 5.
Yeah, and in the hotel room.
I will say, season 5 is a little bit. Because like people are like, oh my gosh, Utah County was such a clean jail. That jail in Arizona in season 5 was clean. That was a pretty good jail.
I don't know, but I watched that
season, and that season was very violent. Very good characters on that season. We all know.
Yeah, you probably showed me the worst scenes, and I had not an ounce of fear in me until you showed me that, and then I was like,
yeah, I showed you when Abner slapped that dude up. I said, this is 60 days in. It doesn't take 60 days to find out, you know, what's going on in jail, you know. It just you can survive it.
Well, you have a brain. Gotcha.
Oh my God.
Gotcha.
Okay, what are some of your favorite moments from our season?
The fur coat, of course. When you put up with the fur coat, of course. No, when you're standing there with the fur coat, just waiting for that. You're just waiting to get picked up in a fur coat. And then my other favorite scenes is the gloves. I love Luna when she goes, I gotta use your gloves. I like Luna.
From Corey loved Luna.
From the guy's side, I love Daniel guy's side. But from the girl's side, I love the girl's side. I love AB. I loved when she goes, who are you talking to, little girl?
She's like, leave those people's grandma alone.
Alone, yes. Oh my gosh. She goes, I'm an MA okay, now.
What, you know what else you quoted for the only first 6 months afterwards is you loved Bottle Blonde.
Oh, yes. Don't let the bottle blonde fool you, honey. Don't let the bottle blonde fool you, honey.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. Who are some of your favorite participants from all the seasons? Who do you love the most?
My favorite participants from all the seasons are, because you know I know a few. I love my babies. So I love Rose from season 7. I love Coco from season 8. I love Sherry from season 2. Who else is my favorite? Mona Lisa from season 2 was great. Angelique brought the biggest twist of the show. I loved her. There's a lot of characters on there that I liked. I like the ones that don't give too much acknowledgement. I mean, the ones who just go in there and show their true raw self, you know, not playing it.
Okay, I have something that makes me think of you now all the time.
Oh my God, Heart Candy Christmas. Oh my God, Christmas is coming up too.
We were singing this before we went into jail, and then we still sing it, and we did karaoke to it. And then you read a
Dolly Parton book in the jail. I was reading.
Hey, maybe I'll go
in my head. I haven't heard this song so long. Maybe I'll lose some. Maybe I'll settle down. Maybe I'll just change.
Ready? Everybody sing with us.
I never had apple wine either.
And dandy, Lord, it's like a haunted Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. LOL. That's forever our theme song.
Oh, I love that song. I love it.
And then you were at my house in South Carolina and you found the record to that Dolly Parton Christmas album.
Oh my God.
And then
you had that song on the Christmas album.
But you about fell out. You were like, I can't believe
this. I was so shocked. I love it. It's apparently a bonus song.
I know.
Why is that a bonus song?
Robbery. Forget I Will Always Love You. Forget I Will Always Love You. How about Hard Candy Christmas, people? Wake up.
You
want to know what's wrong with this world and in our current division? We need to listen to Hard Candy Christmas.
Did you hear Whitney Houston singing it?
It's like a hard candy. It's like a.
Lord, it's like a. Lord have mercy. Here, did you back it up real quick?
And you know what my favorite Whitney Houston? What's your favorite Whitney Houston song?
All at Once. All at Once.
How does that go?
All at once, I'm drifting on a lonely sea. You're coming back to me. Oh, it's her early stuff.
I love her songs from that movie, A Preacher's Wife.
Wait,
movie I would watch. Wait, what's the song I love? I believe in you and me. I believe that we will be in love eternally. Now as far as I can see, oh, just to be real forever.
I played the fool forever. Girl, what you say? I played the fool forever. And didn't you know? I played. That's my favorite part. I played the fool forever. How about,
I believe in you and me. I believe that we will be in love eternally. Now as far as I can see. Oh, I just love it.
It's you, I just love and it. I will be the one.
Oh, yes. Because I believe in you and me. Okay, I love that one. I obviously love I Want to Dance.
I would do anything for you, baby. I'll be there for you, baby.
What's the one from Waiting to Exhale?
Shoot. Wait.
How's that one start?
I like the one she did on the soundtrack. She goes, why does it hurt so bad?
It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it.
You want me to be honest? I love you, Anita. But the songs that she wrote herself, the songs that she write is like what she needs imagined, basically. I don't know. Because you know the song Queen of the Night? I got the stuff that you won't.
I got the thing that she wrote.
It's like, it's like Whitney.
That song's probably like a little inappropriate now that I think about it. I've never thought about that song, but it sounds about right.
Oh, girl, you need to listen to some SZA.
I don't, yeah. You like SZA? She's not really.
I love her.
She's all right.
I need a conversation. Can you come for me? Oh, girl.
I feel like you love... love isn't in the house missing.
Oh, da, yes. Da, da, I can't believe you heard of me because I meant you girl with no difference. Yes.
Okay. What is the number one thing that, what was the hardest part about jail for you?
Being Corey. That's the hardest part, girl. Living in his own brain. I feel like that really living, was the hardest part.
Living in jail.
I can live with
that's
I
the hardest part. The being there,
girl. I can live with you the
said,
bare minimum.
You said being there is the hardest. I said, what's the hardest part about jail? You said there, being there.
Just being Corey. Just being myself, dude. Just like, let's just, I don't know. But like, I was used to getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, they woke us up early.
I really didn't eat much anyway, so like, I didn't like. I was just, I don't know. I really could have done the 60 days. I just came in there with a TV persona, thinking I was supposed to get this special treatment from production, and that wasn't the case. But they're not innocent either, because like they did some manipulative editing. But I wish I could have just like, I don't know. It's like
you got to be real good with yourself, right? In order to get through that and be okay with yourself. Be okay there. You got to be real good with yourself.
I was the inmate.
Go ahead. You what?
I was the inmate.
We were. So we're doing a project on this podcast. It's called the Better Person Project. And it's really looking at our life large scope and correcting all the small areas of our life so that big picture, even perhaps might I say, in the face of eternity, we are presentable. Big picture talking, what did you learn the most about yourself in this? Don't you think it was time to self-reflect when you were in there? That's all I did. All I did in there was self-reflect, go over the events of my life, think about things that I had been putting off. I mean, what did you self-reflect on when you were in there or afterwards?
I think I got what I self-reflected on from the experience was getting in my own way. I feel like I just can get in my own way. So, I mean, sometimes I just have to, like, you know, reiterate and just be like, hey, is this, you know, a conscious decision, a right decision? Do you want to react off this thought, react off of that thought? So, like, my reactions are very, you know, limited.
What about when you got out? I know that you really started kind of on this path of like, you were kind of trying to figure a few things out. Like you were like, you know, it's already hard in there, and people can sit there and judge all they want and be like, oh, like, you know, he lost it or whatever. You get, think about how everybody acted in COVID. We all acted nuts in that. You get locked in a closet with a criminal for 20 hours a day with no end in sight, and you see how you act. But I give you all the credit because it's hard in there. It is strange. Some but you left.
90 minutes. Some people want to go a full, like people on that show don't even like leave. Like I actually like went to, no one held my hand going in. I went in, what you call the classification by myself. Went to gym pop by myself. Like no one can really say I was bullied by any inmates. I bullied myself. I didn't bully. No one bullied me. I bullied myself. Like I'm.
But when you left, you went down kind of a road of, I don't know, self discovery, and you implemented some new things in your life.
It was self discovery. I went down a road trying to be this thing. I don't know. I went down last year. I think after that show, I tried to so hard to self-improve that I was not self-improving. I was more damaging myself, trying to really paint this person of like, oh, this is not me, you know. It was just like, yeah, I know. So like, I feel like once the show stopped airing, that's when I felt myself, when it stopped airing. Because when it was airing, I think I had a worse time when it was airing than when I was in the show. Trying to defend yourself.
Yeah, I could see that. It's a lot when it's on. It's a ton of opinions. It's a ton of stuff online. It's people you know, people you don't know watching. All of a sudden, you're recognized in public, and people have comments on that. It's a lot at once, and you can get lost in it, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, I did get very lost in it. Like listen to like stupid people from past seasons who just like, you know. But like, I'm happy that this show is just like people wanted me to just like, oh. You know, I don't, like, it's a serious show, but after the show, now looking back, I don't really take it seriously. I was on a reality TV show. It was like, I get to go on Disney Plus and see myself and binge watch myself. Like, you were there for 6 days and 5 episodes, mind you.
Right. Just saying. Okay. Well, what I thought was good about when you left though, and after the show was done airing, is you really kind of took a route and you found therapy and you implemented some new routine things. I feel like that was a really step. People want to know like the positivity that has came from this from you. And I think that was it. You kind of searched to be more centered, wouldn't you say?
Oh yes. I think, especially like going to therapy and just like, you know, but that's the thing, like even with my therapist saying like, I never really saw myself as a victim until that show. I've always saw myself as a villain. Because I've always like, yeah, it was just like, I didn't even know I can care that much for people, honestly. Like, I knew I had a heart, but I didn't really realize like, oh, wow, you really do care for people. Like with the Chosen situation, like when he chose me to be in his room, like it was just like, oh, I just connect with people well. So like a lot of, like, I'm not going to get into that, but like, it was just like, it's so much things that people don't see that they miss out.
What was Chosen's real name?
I think Glory, but it was something. It was like he's from Africa. I think he was from Kenya, I believe.
It was like a longer name. Well, we want to know where he is. If you can find Chosen, if you're out there, if you guys know him, if you know Glory, if you know Chosen, tell him to DM us. Go on my Instagram, go on Corey's Instagram, Nina Palmer, Texas. Go on his. We want to interview him. Glory, we are looking for you because he would be out now. Now, he might be back in, but he would be out from that.
I think so.
Yeah. You know what's cool about Glory is Chosen?
Sure.
He really had, you know what was cool about Chosen is he was like, I would call him a supportive role in there. He was so captivating.
Have the major roles in there. They're the supporting character. We love them.
Yeah, they really are. And I got to meet Chosen. How crazy is that?
You did.
Yeah. I felt really lucky. It felt so serendipitous. When I had to go back to the jail after I got out of the jail just to do an interview, went through the back door real easy. And when that was happening, he was at the trash cans and they said that's chosen. So I just struck up a little conversation with him and he was just really nice. But it was funny that I got to talk to him face to face. It's just kind of funny.
You know that you knew me. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what's on that show? I cannot lie to them on that show. So I barely didn't want to make any connections with anybody there because I didn't want to. That sucks. Like if you like going there, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't feel right. Like,
yeah, I get that. What do you think is the number one thing that incarceration needs to work on? Like, what do you think was the biggest of their faults?
The people keep going back there. Like it was a stay jet to holiday. Like they're on a, timeshare.
They literally go there.
Like they're on a timeshare. Oh, I'll be back here next week.
There were people in there who got released while I was in there and then came back in while I was in there, which as a bail bondsman, I told you that's how I never knew what a furlough was.
This dude was talking to, they don't show any of this because they think I don't have any interactions with any inmates, but I was always in population. But it was this dude, he sat next to me, we're just talking, he goes, yeah, I got furloughed today. And I think he got laid off because that's where a furlough is. I'm from the real world. I'm like, furlough.
Right.
I'm like, where do you work at? And so he told me it'd be a job, but he said he quit. So I'm like, furlough. He goes, yeah, they let me go home to see my family for a day, and I have to come back here at 4 o'clock. Then I said, oh. The furlough.
You're like, can I get one?
That's a new
Because I need to go
I want one. I basically have one. It's called free will. Like, that's the thing. People are like, oh, you tap out. It's free will. Like, if you don't, if I ain't got
no, I furloughed. I furloughed. What did you think of the food when we were in there?
It was too fast. Like, I'm like, we just ate lunch. Why are we eating dinner now? 4 o'clock for dinner.
Yeah, they feed you the three meals quick. And then you don't eat for like 14 hours.
They'll feed you breakfast at like 5 a.m. You have lunch at 12.
Yeah, we got it at 6:30.
No, you don't have to have lunch at 12. You have lunch at 1. Then you have dinner at 4. And so you have...
They feed you real quick, and then you don't eat for like 14 hours plus. It's a weird... I don't love that either.
No, it's like not... It's not fun at all. The jail sucks. I never say the jail stinks. I never say the jail shit. I never jail.
We cannot get off this recording until we talk about how about our home and native jail land, Utah County Jail in Spanish Fork, Utah... is in the news right now. Paul, but how funny that we're seeing Mike's... Oh, too loud. We'll start. Now, we cannot get off this interview until we talk about the current topic at hand, only the aspect of it of our county jail in Spanish Fork, Utah. Utah County Jail is in the news right now. How wild has that conversation been?
You know, they're always in the news. Like, literally, Utah County Jail is literally always in the media. It's always something.
And Mike Smith, our buddy on there?
He was just in People Magazine last year for something that happened there.
Girl, How funny was it when we saw him up there? And you brought up a really good point. You were the one who said, I'm going to tell you what, that alleged shooter, that is not the jail he wants to be in.
Girl,
you were the one who first said that to me.
Girl, he probably hasn't even ate there yet. Who knows? Girl, you're not going to treat him with any type of... No.
Agreed, because the stereotype is true. The majority of Utah is so conservative, and so are those guards. Trust me, I interviewed every single one of them that I crossed paths with, and I promise you they don't agree. The majority, 99%, don't agree with him. They are retaliating on him. Promise you that.
Oh, they are. They probably put him in Vel 1, Vel 2, or something like that, like the movie maximum.
And what did you say? You said he's arrested, but what? What did you say?
Oh yeah, he won't have a good time.
You said no tapping out. You said no tapping out for him.
Okay, let's talk about something else. What do you think about the jail tours they used to show, like the school kids? You ever seen them show the jail tours? Isn't that crazy?
I did see one. It was funny. So let's explain it. So you'd be in your pod, right? And I've said this before. The whole walls are glass, so that everybody can monitor and watch you.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see the hallways of what's in front of you. And they would do school tours where they, which I think is brilliant, as they should. We should tour what jails look like because it's really hard to see.
Girl,
we should have people seeing. We should have people seeing what goes on in there.
They got 20 seasons of Beyond Scare Straight. They do not need to go in there and look at them people like they zoo animals.
Okay, fine. But that is, we would be sitting there and... So we would be sitting there in these glass pods with a glass or a pod with a glass wall, and they would bring school kids through to show them. Brilliant. I think it's brilliant, but you have never felt more like a goldfish in a fishbowl. When they would do it to us, we would bark
at them. I felt like I was at a zoo.
It was a strain. It's very, to be on display, very odd. And the kids' eyes were all just like deer in headlights. That was, yeah, you're right. That was a weird one.
Most of them are going to be, they need the revenue.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I have just wanted you to be on so you could have the honorarium seat of the first official Heart Conviction guest. You are always going to be that, but you are going to be here much, much more.
Okay, we need to do a ladies' night with some ladies from seasons, the other seasons, it's a few days, like a ladies' night, a ladies' pod.
Yeah. You are just, I just love you dearly. And okay. Corey, I just want to thank you so much for being the first official guest of the Heart Conviction Podcast.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Heart Conviction Podcast. Do me a favor and go to your Purple Podcast app under the Apple Podcasts and hit subscribe to the show, and that way you'll get new notifications when we release new episodes. You can also follow me on Instagram, Nina Palmer Texas, and keep up on updates with the show. We will be back next Monday, and we will be coming in hot. Appreciate you. Love you. Bye, friends.